Today on Real Life Radio.
We don't do well without guardrails. We need protection. And God's desire regarding his will is to protect you.
Oh man, I feel like doing this.
Not always a good idea.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Your week is packed. You're running on empty, and sometimes Sunday already feels like a distant memory by Wednesday. That's exactly why Real Life Devotions exist. Each week, Pastor Jack Hibbs brings you a short but powerful moment in God's Word, designed to encourage, equip, and refocus your heart. It's not another podcast or a long sermon. It's a few meaningful minutes that meet you right where you are. Whether you're on a commute, going for a walk, or you just need a reset in the middle of your day, Real Life Devotions are ready when you are. Fresh encouragement, straight from the Scripture. And it's all just one click away. Check out the newest devotion now at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Your place for real faith, real encouragement, and real life. That's Real Life Devotions at jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Suffering, the Will of God, Part 3. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the First Church. And Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world, including how we handle suffering. You see, we need to have the right attitude about suffering and sin. We tend to have a pampered view of life and that suffering is a bad thing. But there's nothing greater for the Christ follower than to be like Christ even in his sufferings. Our old self was crucified with Christ, which gives us the power and the victory over sin. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the world is being deceived about what is good and what is evil. It's why we as Christians need to not just play it safe, but to take a stand for what's right according to the Bible. Now with his message called Suffering, the Will of God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And the great lie that you tell yourself is, I can handle it. I can handle it. I got it. And when you begin to tell that propaganda to yourself, you're on the brink of utter destruction. You're not free. Liberty is to the Christian. Think of it. And here's what's tragic about these things. It just... all in the public arena. Imagine this, public revelries. Some of your Bibles translate the word orgies. And all of it culminates under what is known as abominable idolatries. These are things we idolize. And here's the shock of all. It's the Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest who points out that, and I read, these actions were deemed so destructive to the common welfare of the empire, the Roman Empire, that they were outlawed by the Roman Senate. Can you believe that? The Roman Senate even said, wait a minute, those public displays of gross, outright sin is even wrong to the Roman Empire. It's a threat to the existence of Rome. I think the Roman Senate 2,000 years ago have got more sense than we do in our culture today. Certainly more sense than our politicians today, except for the ones who go here. But there's a decadence that was considered illegal by Rome. And we say things like this, and I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on to your seats. Don't leave yet. People will say things like this. Dude, don't tell me how to live. I'll do whatever I want. It's my body. It's my world. Well, then do it by yourself. And oh, by the way, don't get behind the wheel of a car because now you involve me and my grandkid. You can't legislate morality. Have you ever heard that before? One of the stupidest statements ever made. You can't legislate morality. Are you kidding me? Where did you hear that? Can someone tell me what the speed limit is on the freeway right now?
65?
That's slow, huh? Still 65? 65. That's legislating morality. Did you know that? Did you know it's immoral to go over 65 on the freeway? Did you know that? It's a crime. You can kill people. Did you know that if you drink and drive, you're legislating morality by making that illegal because it can kill people? Think of it. Oh, yes, you do legislate morality every day. It's not right for a man to beat his wife. Amen. That's legislating morality. Amen. We do it all the time. Here, people will say, I want to do whatever I want to do. Just know this. You don't live in a bubble. Others are affected. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, regarding that kind of thinking, Matthew 7, 13, Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a strong statement, is it not? See, man, that's narrow. I want to do my own thing. It's a free country. You can do your own thing. Just know this. Jesus says this is his thing. His thing is, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few people find it. It's straight. And there's a gate. You want to know what heaven's immigration policies are? It's narrow. There's walls around the heaven, the Bible says. And there's a gate. And Jesus said to get into the gate, he has to be the way, the truth, and the life, or no man comes to the Father but through me, he said. That's what he said. See, man, that's so narrow. It's so narrow. Of course it's narrow. He died for you on the cross. That wasn't some joke. It is narrow. Yes. Things that are precious are narrow. Yes. And Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life. Yes. And Jesus said, be careful. A lot of people are running down a path that seems right to them. The book of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. And Jesus comes on the scene and says, I am the way of eternal life. Liberty. I'm free from the things that used to bind me up. Free. Some people wake up and they're plotting how they can fulfill their desires and their passions at anyone's expense. And that's a terrible way to live. And then secondly, look at verse 4, convictions. Understanding who we are now as believers is that there's the conviction of you, the very conviction. When I say conviction, I mean what you stand for as a believer. The Christian takes a stand for the kingdom of God. Listen, this I love this. What are your convictions? What I love about having convictions, a friend of mine from LA area saw First Service and said, you know, boy, you're really being bold. And I didn't realize that. And then it answered exactly what we're looking at here at the latter end of the second argument here is about convictions. Listen, convictions are things that don't waver. Right. And you don't have to have many. Did you know that? You don't have to have many convictions. They govern your life. They're like a fence. Many years ago, Dr. James Dobson gave the data regarding the study of children that were basically parentless. They had parents, but the parents didn't speak into their lives or discipline them or love them or correct them or encourage them. And these kids were just insecure and terrified. And they turned them loose in a schoolyard. And what would you think, turning a bunch of kids that were left alone to themselves in a big schoolyard? You know what they did? They wound up gravitating in the middle of the schoolyard to one another. They got away from the fences that were far, far beyond, and they got real close to one another, and they had a little world that was within their proximity, and that's where they felt safe. And then they brought in portable fences, and they put, I don't know what it was, 30 by 30 fences, and they put the kids in the fences, and the kids were much more bold, much more excited, much more happy. Think about it. We don't do well without guardrails. We need protection. And God's desire regarding his will is to protect you. Oh man, I feel like doing this. Not always a good idea. And God will speak to you. Now watch this regarding convictions. Verse 4 says, in regard to these, that is those who do and those sins, both combined, the sin and the sinner of those things of the past, they, that is those who still do them. Maybe you're here today and you're still doing these things. The Bible says, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil, or the word blaspheming you. They blaspheme you. They get every chance they'll slander you. How does this happen? Look at the word strange. You need to mark this down. The word strange here means that they're surprised. Watch this, everyone. Strange. In fact, Zeno. Have you ever heard of the Zeno? Like a xenophobe. It comes from this word, strange. They think you're strange. And the word means curiously strange for a moment. Listen, are you listening? I ask you again. Are you listening?
Yes.
Good, because listen. They think when they hear about you no longer having drunken parties with them and orgies with them and all that stuff they used to do with them, they who practice those things hear that you don't now, they are thinking you're strange. And it goes like this. The word means, whoa, wow, really? How curious, amazing, short-lived. Done with that. They want to know now why. It's a, whoa, wait, what? That's what it means. Very colorful. So many of us know what this is like. You give your heart to Christ. For me, it was a Monday night, 42 years ago. Give your heart to Christ. Then, and eventually during the week, you got to tell your friends. My friends from junior high all the way through, my friends. And it goes like this. And I love the accuracy of the Bible. I love it. It's this word. So, Jack, you want to come with us? When? Saturday. I don't know. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you have to work? No, I became a Christian on Monday night. Wow. Well, I thought you said you became a Christian on Monday night. Anyway, you want to come with us? Do you know what I'm talking about? No, I did. Come on. Hey, Mike, listen, Jack said he became a Christian on Monday night. Now just put a sock in it and meet us there at 8:00. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, listen, guys, no. What? It goes from what? To what? They think it's strange. So wait a minute, what? You're not going to go with us now? What are you, some sort of a holy roller now? Well, aren't you self-righteous? Who made you the Pope? Did you hear all that stuff? I did. No, you guys should come with me to church. Church, now you want us to go with you. They go from surprise to a short-lived curiosity to you're strange. You're strange. Ladies and gentlemen, to be labeled strange by this world is one of the greatest compliments you could ever receive from the world. Jesus was strange. Jesus was strange.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Jesus was strange. The way this world lives, Jesus was strange. The way this world lives, you and I are strange. They don't get it. I didn't get it. You didn't get it before you were a Christian. Bunch of weirdos, Jesus freaks. Listen, right now, people are driving down the freeway looking down at this building, parking lot's full, and you know what they're saying? Look at those stupid people. It's 1:00 in the afternoon. They should be at the bars by now. And look at them, they're at church. They left their brains at home and they went to church. You know the stuff they say. They think we're strange. I get it. They're shocked that you and I don't run with them anymore. The word run here is to be yoked to, connected. You know, running together like a pack of wolves. Come on, let's go. And off you go. And you can see the party hats flying and the beer foam going every which way. And they're running. Where are you going? We have no idea, but we're having a ball. And you see those big Clydesdale Budweiser horses. Now, they look awesome, but they're pulling together, right? They're pulling that big thing of beer. I guess it's beer. I don't even know what's in that thing. But the horses are together, and they're moving, and it looks spectacular. And then as they pan by, you say, what are those beautiful horses? And then you see these drunk guys driving the... And you think of being yoked together like that. Come on, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. Let's just go. Let's tear it up. And you're running. And then you get saved and I'm not going to do that anymore. They are angry now at you because you have a conviction. God's touched your heart. And you don't know exactly why you're taking the stand, but you can't do it anymore. And you lovingly try to reach out to your friends and they freak. For you to say, I believe in the rights of the unborn child, you're strange. Who are you to impose your views upon us? They say to you. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, who put light for darkness and bitter for sweet. Today, there's a group that always, they want to talk about life and be kind and be compassionate, and they turn right around and they exterminate a child. This is demonic doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. It's from the pit. Satan hates human beings. When are we going to wake up to that? And there's teams, and you need to pick a team. One is of life. And I'm not talking about a political party. I'm talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about Jesus Christ who gives life versus the rotten devil of the Bible who takes life. And the world is divided. We need to remember that. They think it's strange. The same people, they don't think it's strange that they're cheating on their wives or husbands. They don't think that's strange. They don't think, listen, if you are abusing your child, they don't think it's strange. If you're hooked on drugs or alcohol, they don't think it's strange. But the moment you say, I'm no longer hooked on alcohol, I'm no longer beating my wife, I've been set free by Jesus, they say, you're strange. Are you hearing me? Our world has gone mad. Convictions. And so, third and final point found in verses 5-6 is that, ladies and gentlemen, family, suffering the will of God, we rejoice because we're living, you and I are living, listen, a never-ending life. You need to remember that. What if I die? You can't. Even if you die, you don't die. The Christian should be the most anointed risk taker. We really should. We play it so safe. I could prove it to you if I wanted to. Could you imagine if we just said, hey, let's all sign up. We're going to go to Iraq and help the Kurds. Let's go, all of you. I bought a ticket for all of you. Let's go. I think I left a pot roast in the oven, I think. You know what I'm saying? Instead of thinking, well, maybe God's in this. He bought us a ticket. Let's go. See what happened. We played so safe. We need to be bold. Listen, we live forever. By the way, read the fine print. The Bible's very clear. The Bible says everybody lives forever. Once they're born, they live forever. All people. Heaven and hell are forever, it says. The Bible says that we live eternally. But for the believer I'm speaking about today, we learn in verse 5 that you and I live in light of the coming judgment. It says they will give an account. They're going to have to answer to God for their conduct. The word there says to him who is ready. Circle the word ready. That's a terrifying word. The word means that his hand is on the lever. Does that scare you? God, the word means that that God's hand is on the lever. He's getting ready to pull it. I don't know what comes to your mind about that, but God's hand is on the lever and he's just waiting for people to turn to him. But there's a coming judgment for both for the believer that has nothing to do with entering heaven, but the believer is going to be judged for the opportunities we had for Jesus. And then there's the judgment in Revelation chapter 20 of those he's speaking about here, that there's no hope at that judgment. All of your life, the Bible, Jesus said every person's word and thought will be manifest in front of them that they've had in their life. And you'll be alone with God. And without Jesus, it's hell. In verse 6, we're living in light of the believer's assurance. This is beautiful. He says, for this reason, that is for the judgment, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that is the believers up until the time of Peter's writing. And it says here that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, and that simply means mocked and ridiculed and considered strange. Dear Christian, today, if you can hear my voice, if you live your Christian life, just know this, the world will never pat you on the back. And if you get a rush from the world patting you on the back, it's a false pat. Remember that. The believers previously to Peter's writing who died for their faith in Jesus, they were condemned by the world, but they were accepted by God. And that's good news. And we end with this, at the end of verse 6, we're living in light of forever. We're living in the light of forever. And I'm going to end right now. I have, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 verses to give you. You can look them up online. You can look at those verses for more encouragement. Just know this, Christian, you need to breathe deep and you need to rejoice and you need to get excited because Jesus Christ has purchased you out of that old life. And he's put within you this beautiful struggle. In this dichotomy, you have liberty. In this dichotomy, this division of you, you have conviction. You have things now that you never had before that are eternal. And you can look at things and say, that's wrong to kill babies. It's wrong to do this. It's wrong to do that. And to say so based on the Bible, not on your own whim, is to have conviction. Conviction enough to die at the stake for it if need be. Conviction enough that when they say, you know what, you change your mind about this or you're going to get fired. Say, sir, I can change my mind about a lot of things, but I can't change my mind about this because my mind has been made up by this verse, by this chapter that's in the Word of God. We're not home yet, church. We're going home. Remember that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. So, Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would move. In fact, listen, as we remain in an attitude of prayer, I know time is late, but you know what? Right now, no games, no goofing off. If today you think God has spoken to you, if today, listen, if today you had a spark, I mean like a wound. If today you feel like a needle has hit your heart, a knife has cut your heart, your soul, if God has pricked your conscience today, if something unusual has happened to you today during this message, and your emotions probably got elevated, you probably felt this, you probably felt that, whatever it might be, that was God speaking to you. That was him speaking to you. And you know you need to respond to this. And that is, if now you want Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you want to accept him, not become a member of this church. If you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior because he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, and if you want to start your life all over again in newness, get up. Get up and come forward and stand at the base of this platform and we'll pray for you in a moment. But listen, be honest to yourself. If God has touched your heart and you know something unusual has happened, respond to him. Respond to him. Let this fall from your lips, please. Lord Jesus, I come to you now, publicly acknowledging you as Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to put your Holy Spirit in me, and to change my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, and his message called Suffering, the Will of God, Part 3. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
I've got Pastor Jack in studio with me, which is always a thrill. Hey, Pastor Jack, you've got a new devotional out, and it's called Watching, Waiting. Give me a little rundown of what's going on with that.
Yeah, we're very excited. It's the first time ever I've put out a devotional, to be honest with you. It's just didn't think about it until you look around at the world that you and I are living in, and I think everybody needs a little bit of infusion, a little bit of a booster shot when it comes to getting excited and becoming really biblically focused again. On all of us are called to be watching and to be waiting for the Lord's coming. And so, yeah, it's a 40-day devotional, and we think people are going to like it because it's filled with hope, it's filled with encouragement, and by the way, you know what? Think about it. The more we see the world coming undone, the more it's indicating that we're going to see Christ soon.
Okay, so if somebody's doing a devotion, they might be, you know, focusing on, you know, resetting their faith, getting all fired up in the Lord. Is that kind of a close description?
I think that when we pause long enough to consider the scriptures that reinforce that he's coming back and we're supposed to be watching for him, that really guards us and protects us. I'd like to put it this way. It kind of galvanizes us against the increased rhetoric that is going to come. People are going to start mocking the return of Jesus more
right.
than ever.
Yeah.
Even, quote, theologians, right, are going to start saying he's not really coming back. All these things were revealed to us in Scripture in advance, anticipating that very attitude. And so this devotion is going to really, I think, help that a lot. I mean, it's cute. Don't get me wrong. It's a cute book. It's a handsome cover. It looks great, and it's 40 days. But don't let that disarm you. It is action-packed with biblical truth to get you and to keep you excited about the near return of Christ.
Watching, Waiting. It is our featured resource for this month, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.